Well, hello. We're continuing our series today in John's Gospel, and we're in John chapter 21, where we were last week at this time. My name is Roger Pasco. Glad to be with you again to study God's Word. Pray that you will have a beneficial time with me today as we look again at Jesus' conversation with Peter in John chapter 21. This is the final conversation that we're looking at in John's Gospel. We have looked at six others in the previous weeks that we've been together. We've looked at Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus in John 3, his conversation with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, in John 4, his conversation with the woman taken in adultery in John 8, his conversation with the disciples when he washed their feet in John 13, his conversation with Pilate in John 18 and 19, his conversation with Mary and the disciples and Thomas in John chapter 20 after the resurrection, and now his conversation with Peter in John 21. And we're calling this Lessons in Christian Service. We started it last time and we looked at verses 15, 16, and 17, but we didn't complete even all of those verses, so we're going to pick it up there again today. Well, before we read the Word together and study it together, let's pray. Lord, we commit this day to You. We commit this study to You. Thank You for this radio station that brings this broadcast every week at this time, and so that these people can listen. And we pray that it will bless them and encourage them and strengthen them in their faith. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we began to notice last time what a great lesson we learned from the life of Peter. He was such a rich and interesting character, one who was very loved by the Lord. And in this chapter that we're studying together, Jesus is calling him into his service, commissioning him to be his disciple, to carry on Jesus' work after Jesus has gone. And he's giving Peter specific instructions about what he expects Peter to do when he continues his ministry in the church. Now, we saw last time that Peter was the one who had denied the Lord, and all that took place there, and how Peter was reconciled to the Lord, and how he had a private meeting with the Lord where that undoubtedly took place. And we noticed last time that Jesus didn't write Peter off just because of his failure, but he tests him here as to his love for the Lord, and he then gives him instructions to go out and to serve him. So we noticed last time that the pledge in serving the Lord is to love him. That's what Jesus is concerned about here in verses 15, 16, and 17 of John 21. He's testing Peter to have him confess that yes, he does indeed love him. So let's read those verses again. John 21, verse 15 says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' Then Jesus said to Peter again a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to Jesus, 'Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" So the pledge in serving the Lord is to love him. And despite our feeble loyalty, Jesus still values our love, as you can see in his discussion here with Peter. And despite our feeble loyalty, Jesus still wants our service. He still wants our service. Isn't that incredible that despite the many times that we deny the Lord, despite the many times we could speak for him and we fail to do so, despite how often our hearts grow cold and we wander away from the Lord, despite our feeble loyalty, He values our love, and he wants our service. Even though Peter had badly failed the Lord, yet he still loves him, and Jesus still wants him to work in his service. Jesus is still the shepherd that we read about in John 10, thinking of his lambs and his sheep. You remember what Jesus says in John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And now he's calling Peter into his service to feed his lambs and then to tend my sheep. And in saying this to Peter, it seems as though Jesus sees all of his sheep of all the future ages of the church. They are his lambs and his sheep because he is their shepherd and he is their savior. And in commissioning Peter, in authorizing Peter for this work, and all the other disciples as well, including ourselves, Jesus is indicating what their work is to be. Their work is directly related to the same enterprise that Jesus was involved with, and that is shepherding sheep. First, Jesus says they are to feed my lambs in verse 15. Jesus refers to young believers here as lambs who need to be nourished. They're weak, they're immature, they're in need of the strengthening of food from the Word of God. And just like lambs that need the nourishment from their mothers, so young believers need to be nourished and built up in their faith and strengthened so that they can move on to strong meat and not just drink milk the rest of their life. So feed my lambs. And then in verse 16, shepherd my sheep. Jesus refers to mature believers as sheep who need to be shepherded. Sheep, you see, are prone to wander. They're dependent in everything. They can't look after themselves. They need a shepherd. They need someone to provide them with a place to feed, water to drink, to protect them from danger. And so that's why Jesus says here, shepherd my sheep. They need guidance. They need protection. They need food. And they need direction. I think sometimes in our mind we think of a shepherd as someone who's in a nice green field with sheep, watching them as they graze on the grass and so forth. But shepherding isn't always that way. It's not always a nice rural environment. Sometimes shepherds need to go out into the wild mountains for lost sheep. Sometimes they need to protect the sheep from wolves. And the wolves, spiritually speaking, are false teachers. And we read about them in 2 Peter. You know, Peter becomes the ultimate shepherd, sent out by Jesus to spiritually shepherd his people. And Peter teaches us a lot about that in his epistle. So firstly then, feed my lambs. That's part of our responsibility within the church as Christians, is to feed those young believers, those who are weak, those who need strengthening. Then we're to shepherd my sheep. Whatever situation they're in, we are to provide shepherding care for the sheep of God. And then thirdly, they are to feed my sheep. Jesus refers to believers as sheep who need to be fed in green pastures. You see, God uses us where we are, in our jobs, in our homes, in our community, in our school. He takes us in our occupations, and he uses us to serve him. For some of us, it's encouraging other people. For others, it's teaching Bible lessons. For others, it's doing practical work with your hands. Whatever it is, God wants to use you where you are. And when you see how God used Peter in such a marvelous way, you can read all about it in the book of Acts, and then again in his two letters, his two epistles. When you see how God called Peter into his service and used him in such a mighty and powerful way to establish the early church and to build up God's people in their faith, then realize that he can use you too. If he could take someone like Peter, who had so badly failed him, and restore him to full fellowship and strength, and to give him all of the gifts that he needed to go forth and to work for him in the church, to preach the gospel, to stand up boldly for God. If he can use someone like that, then God can and wants to use you as well. Well, Peter is a wonderful example of someone that God takes and, despite his brokenness, uses him in a powerful way. And you don't find Peter going back and crying about what happened in the past and or saying, well, I can't do it because of what I did in the past. No, Peter is fully restored. And when we're fully restored and we know the grace of God and the forgiveness of God in our lives, then we're able to fully serve God without any reserve. The prerequisite for serving God is unconditional devotion to him. Undoubtedly, that's why Jesus asked him these three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? That's the prerequisite for serving Jesus, unconditional devotion to him. And in his mercy, Jesus commissions anyone who claims nothing more than a humble kind of love for him. You see, when we express love for the Lord, it does come from our hearts, and we do truly love the Lord, but let's make sure that we don't try to make it look like we love him more than anyone else, for that isn't true, and that's pride. And we need to put that out of our hearts and out of our minds, but rather we need to humbly come before the Lord and say, yes, Lord, I love you, I want to serve you. And he will take you with all the gifts that he's given you and use you in his service. Our job as Christians is to serve him among his lambs and his sheep. There are those who are just inquiring about Christianity. They're really new in their desire to know something about the Lord. Perhaps they've never made inquiry before. They've never had questions answered before. They've never shown any interest before in Christianity. And they're just coming now and asking questions about what it means to be a Christian. And there are others who have just been saved and need to be encouraged and strengthened and developed as disciples. And then there are those who are old and perhaps getting a little tired physically, but they've been on the road, on the Christian road, for a long time. They followed the Lord faithfully. These are God's lambs and God's sheep, and they're all precious to the Lord, and they all need to be fed and to be shepherded. And we need to make sure that this instruction that Jesus gives to Peter, that we follow that, we carry that out faithfully to feed his lambs, to tend his sheep, and then to feed his sheep. The first lesson, then, in Christian service is that the pledge in serving the Lord is to love him. And we've noticed two things about that. Despite our feeble loyalty, Jesus still values our love. And then, despite our feeble loyalty, Jesus still wants our service. And the second lesson is that the purpose in serving the Lord is to glorify him. The first lesson is that in Christian service, the pledge in serving the Lord is to love him. The second lesson is the purpose in serving the Lord is to glorify him. We're going to see this in verses 18 and 19. So let's read those two verses together, starting then at John 21 and verse 18. Jesus says this, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. The purpose in serving the Lord is to glorify him. And we are to glorify him when we're young. When we're young, we are strong. Sometimes youth's exuberance, their energy, get ahead of wisdom. Sometimes youth think of themselves before they think of others. But God wants our energy. He wants our vigor. He wants our zeal to be used for him. When we're young, we're strong, and we need to use that strength and that energy for the Lord. When we're young, we are competent, we're able to do things for the Lord. When we get older, sometimes that ability goes away because of age. But when we're young, we're competent. Look what it says. When you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, in verse 18. When we're young, we're capable and healthy to look out for ourselves. We're free to do what we want to do, and to go here and to go there. You see, with youth, there is an independence that frees young people to do the things that older people cannot do. So when we're young, we're strong. When we're young, we're able and competent. When we're young, we're independent. Jesus says to Peter, you walked where you wished. You were decisive. Nobody held you back. You were bold. You could go wherever you wanted to go. And so we're to glorify the Lord when we are young, with all of the good gifts and benefits that God has given us when we're young. So often young people are criticized today, but Christian young people, we need to use all of the gifts that God has given us in our youth to glorify God. When we get older, we can't do the same things that we did when we were young. When we're young, though, nothing holds us back. We have bodily strength. We have soundness of mind. We're able to speak well. We can go different places. We can do things that perhaps as we get older, we may not be able to do. So let's be sure that we glorify the Lord when we're young, and we are to glorify Him when we are old. Just because we lose some of the physical and mental attributes that we have when we're young doesn't mean that we are not to glorify Him when we are old, for we must. When we are old, we are weak, Jesus says. You'll stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. As we get older, the batteries, if you will, of our body run down a bit, and we lack energy and vitality and health and strength. There isn't the same get up and go that there once was. When we are old, we become weak. When we are old, we become incompetent. You stretch out your hands. Another one dresses you. Someone else sometimes has to carry you. You see, there's frailty, there's weakness through age and ill health. And so we're not able to do what we once did. When we're old, we become weak. When we're old, we become incompetent. When we're old, we become dependent. Others carry you where you do not wish to go, Jesus said to Peter. Those on whom we become dependent begin to make decisions for us, decisions that we would not want if we were capable of taking care of ourselves. And all of this description was true of Peter at his death. We know that from history. He was, history tells us, crucified upside down, with his hands stretched out, dressed by someone else, carried where he didn't want to go. This was a prophecy of how Peter's life would end. But it is also a teaching for us of the principles of service, of Christian service, that we must use all of the energies and mental abilities and spiritual gifts that God gives us while we're young and while we have the ability to do so. That doesn't mean we become useless as we get older. It means that our abilities change and we have to change the way we work for the Lord. Even in Peter's death, though he was crucified and others took complete control of his life and carried him where he didn't want to go, even in his death, God was glorified. He exhibited a deep love that even crucifixion could not sever or quench. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Isn't that a wonderful record of history? That the one who denied the Lord there when Jesus was arrested and while he was being tried, the one who denied the Lord is the one who went to death for the Lord. Truly, in his death, Peter manifested the truth of what he had confessed in our chapter. He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. The ultimate demonstration of our love for someone else is the willingness to lay down our life for that person. Jesus once said, greater love has no one than this, than that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And Peter laid down his life for the Lord. Now the Lord had laid down his life for those who were not his friends. The Lord laid down his life for his enemies, For we were still enemies of God by wicked works, the Bible tells us. We were in rebellion against God. We had no time for God when Jesus laid down his life for us. And so Jesus' love went beyond anything that we can comprehend. His love went beyond the love that he had spoken about a man laying down his life for his friend. His love went beyond anything that we have experienced or that we can comprehend. Well, in this verse then, 18, it shows us that there is a life cycle. Life is a cycle from birth to death, and we must serve the Lord wherever we are on that cycle. Whether you're young, middle-aged, or old, we must serve the Lord to glorify the Lord. The cycle goes from dependence when we're born as babies to independence when we're in our youth and our middle age, back to dependence again when we become old. And the time between those cycles is very, very short. There isn't enough time to put off serving the Lord until you're older. You must glorify God in serving Him in whatever stage of life you are in right now. Our life is not guaranteed to us, is it? So we must make use of today. The Bible says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. That's in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. We're here 1 minute and we're gone the next. James says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. James chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Life is short. And while we have life and breath and health and strength and mental ability, we must serve the Lord with all of those gifts that He has given us. There are some Christians who become very feeble in old age, but they still serve the Lord, even on their sick beds, even though they can't get out of bed and go anywhere. They still glorify the Lord in the way they live and how they speak. Do you do that? Is that true in your life? Let's remember, we're not here forever. We're only here for a very short time. And I know that if you're young and listening to me today, you think that life is very, very long, that you've got lots of time left to do things for God. Let me assure you that that time will pass so quickly. We've now grown up and I'm now 61 years old. Very soon I'll be 62. And it just seems like a fleeting moment that life has passed. Now our children are grown up. Now our grandchildren are starting to grow up. And as we watch them, we realize how short life really is. When you get older, you realize that life has gone by so quickly. And the challenge from our message today is, how are you glorifying God in your life right now? For we are not promised tomorrow. We may not even be here tomorrow. Perhaps something will happen and our life will be snuffed out, or perhaps the Lord will come. And so our time is short. Let's use the time that we have to glorify God in word and in deed. So we've learned so far in this chapter that the pledge in serving the Lord is to love Him. That's where it all starts, a love for God. And then the purpose in serving the Lord is to glorify Him. That is to say, to live our lives in such a way that it points to God. It glorifies God. It says, God has done wonderful things in my life. God is so good to me. God has saved me and given me a new life in Christ. That's how we glorify God, by pointing others to God, by showing in the way we live that we are obedient to God, that we are dependent upon God, that we are serving God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Make sure that you do that today, because you're going to find that life passes by so very, very quickly. We don't want to end up our life with regrets that we didn't serve the Lord the way we should. So if you're not giving yourself wholeheartedly to the Lord today, why don't you make that change today? Why don't you, in prayer, when we're finished this broadcast, say to God, I want to use my life to glorify you. That's the purpose of my life. That's why you place me here on the earth. I want to do that for you. Would you show me how to use my gifts for you? Well, may this broadcast have been a blessing to you. We look forward to being with you the next time on this radio broadcast, as we are from week to week. We enjoy being with you. We enjoy bringing the Word of God to you, and we hope that you benefit from it and that your life changes. May God bless you until we're together again the next time.